I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's no rhyme or reason. There's no structure in my life anymore. It's like, I feel like I've gone from full, like if I could map the kind of emotional psychological arc of what we've been through, like, and I look back to where we were at the beginning of this, I was like, amateur. Whereas now I've really sunken into my rhythm and it's a chaotic rhythm. It's like a little weird. But I feel like I was overcompensating a lot up top, you know, like there was this like desire to be like prove to myself that I could do this. And now I'm like I'm never ready before 12:30 now.
Really? I feel like you're constantly like shooting and putting up an Instagram and like I'll wake up and you've put up like a full edited video. And I'm like, Wow. I'll get there eventually, you know, like,
but that's not,
I need another 2 hours.
That's not to, like,
come to life.
That's like, well, I don't know. I consider that like pissing about still.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, so the routine currently stands like this, and basically every day's been the same. Wake up at 7:30. Brinley and I go for a walk that goes for an hour. Come home.
Wow, nice.
And then have a coffee and sit on my phone for another hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Make an Instagram video, shoot and edit that in like 30 minutes and upload it. And then it's like 10:30 and then like, boof, time disappears. Then I'll go to I'll do like a workout at like 11:30, 11:45. And then it's like 12. And then I'm like, breakfast? Lunch? Like, what's the vibe? I'll have eggs. It'll be 1 o'clock. I'll be showering. Then it's like, right, I should probably do some work, like answer some emails that people actually require from me, not just like a stupid Instagram video, and then the day's over.
Yeah, I feel you. Do you feel like comfortable in this? It is the new normal though, right?
Well,
do you feel like that? I feel like nervous to go back because I'm like, I'm so used to this life now.
I'm not going back to anything. Like, there was nothing there before this. Like,
you'll be going back to eating out and meeting up with people, having meetings in real life.
Yeah, like I could go to a cafe and write my comedy fest show was the other thing I was doing, but there wasn't any other work.
Yeah. How psycho. Have you written even a shred of stand-up comedy since you've been in Quarry?
The only joke I thought of was about trio of ice creams, that dessert. Like, do you remember when a restaurant would serve like a trio of ice creams and how like that is like the laziest dessert option? It's like no one wants three individual scoops of a different flavored ice cream on one giant.
Also, it's always strawberry vanilla chocolate, right?
No.
They pretty much just serve you Neapolitan.
That's Neapolitan. But I feel like you'd get like lemon. Like if it's a sorbet, a trio of sorbets, you know, that might be a bit wacky. But then, or it would be like three chocolate, like a trio of chocolate ice creams. And you're like, I don't need three different types of chocolate ice cream or whatever. But one is always vanilla. And then it's like the toast and jam of the dessert menu.
That's great. I got one joke, and I tried it on someone tricked me into doing a live Zoom stand-up comedy show, which I did not tell anyone I was doing because I didn't want anyone to see it. But I did this. I tried this joke about how like pets are allowed to have people names, but it's confusing when you meet a pet with a person name, but you've never met a person with that name before, and then later down the track, you meet a person,
and then
but you've only known that name as a dog's name before.
Like if I met a Rufus now, I'd be like, oh, like Tim's dog.
Like Tim's dog, yeah. We've got
How's
it with
your
our,
hair journey
our,
gone?
I fucking hate my hair. I'm so annoyed by it every day right now.
Really?
It's got these little tufty bits that come out, so it kind of makes, when it's in its most natural state at the moment, kind of makes like a weird triangle because the sides grow faster than the top. So there's kind of like a little peak at the top, a little faux hawk thing going on. And then I've got these like little rough bits on the side.
It's doing something truly unusual, I reckon. Like it's wide all over. But you have to grow it out.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get the sides done as soon as possible. What I'm grappling with at the moment is whether I get Sam to have a go today.
No.
Because I know, but then what am I going to do on the TV on Monday?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
A beanie.
I've been thinking about, yeah, I might wear a backwards cap. I might, but I feel like they want us to be formal, but I'm going to special request
hat.
I wear a backwards cap. A top hat.
That being said, I've truly...
Part of me thinks I could, like, gel it forward, you know?
No. Do you regret shaving it?
No, not at all. Oh. It's been really nice.
Okay,
I was getting so annoyed with the length of it.
Yeah, look what I've got. And like, this is... You don't want this situation going on.
It's crazy. I feel like...
Very
I
normal
up until a
minute.
Few days ago, you were able to style it into something, and maybe in the last couple of days, it's really crept into a truly wild place.
Well, it's because I haven't, like, if I do it in the morning and, like, kind of style it in a way, then it will look somewhat, like, fine. Like, it looked fine for the TV the other
day.
But I can't be fucked putting that much time into my hair, because, like, who for? And so,
I know.
Yeah. But my skin has been, like, incredible. Like,
yeah, me too, actually.
And I was on a
Zoom. Was it the whole time?
I went on a Zoom call the other day, and they were like, Chris, like, look at my shine. Like, that. I'm, like, glowing. And they were like, your skin looks amazing. It looked like glass. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm loving this. Oh, my God, we have not done the theme song.
The theme song.
Okay. Yeah,
we've got to play that.
Theme song.
Sorry, Mom, it's not a phase. It's the male gaze. They're both male, and they're both gay. The male gaze.
And welcome along to...
Welcome along to...
This...
The Male Gaze
podcast.
Episode
87. I don't know what number we're at. How long,
no, neither.
How
and
long
no
have
one
we
does.
Dropped away for?
It would be impossible to work it out. How long what?
How long have we been away for? Like 2 weeks? 3 weeks? What's our excuse?
What's devastating is that Boners of the Heart have been really pumping them out this whole time.
Have they? I feel like they've stopped.
Yeah, but I mean, they stopped, but they also did like 15 in a row. And then I think maybe they've still done weekly since then.
Eli, I really don't think they have.
Okay.
I think they did like 4 and then they stopped.
Whatever it was, it psyched
That's
me out.
That's your inner saboteur.
Like, no.
That's your inner saboteur. That's your inner saboteur talking.
My inner saboteur's hot. That was probably my only good tweet of the lockdown. I said... Has anyone else hooked up with their inner saboteur?
I love that tweet so much. It was so good. I hate the term inner saboteur.
It fucks me off so much.
I hate RuPaul, like psychology. Like, I hate when Ru gets, like, philosophical with someone. I think it's the worst. It's truly, like, garbage. It's always, like, you need to believe in yourself. And that's kind of it.
I see those ads for the masterclass, his masterclass on what being a human, and I just worry that it's poisoning people.
I think so.
Because he's not a good person. He's not a good person.
I started watching, this is very funny, the James Charles YouTube, like, instant influencer show. Like, I was just, like, curious, and it kept being advertised
to
me.
How does it work?
So
what is it?
James Charles hosting this, like, he has 6 makeup gurus, and they're not like makeup artists. They're like, well, they're good at makeup, but they want to be influences critically, which is very funny because it's like, why wouldn't you want to be an artist first before an influencer? But they want to be rich.
Yeah. And also, is makeup the best thing to do to be an influencer?
Well, I feel like the makeup...
I thought maybe it'd be like, there'd be multitudes of different types of influencers on this show.
Yeah, I think like to be a makeup influencer on YouTube is like, and to be successful at it, like you've got a lot of people following you, like millions and millions and millions.
True.
And like James Charles or like Jeffree Star, like the height of their fame and rich and, you know, richness and all that sort of fortune. That's the word I'm looking for. Richness are very successful people, but they're garbage personalities. Like they're just the worst people. And so it's very funny watching someone like, I think the thing that's weird about it is, oh, so there's like six contestants and they're all like, they have a weekly challenge. So the first week was like Paris Hilton was the guest judge and the theme was like a makeup look that like was red carpet or something. I don't know. The second one, they had to get into drag. That's all I've watched. And Trixie Mattel's the guest judge.
Is that when Trixie's on it? Yeah. Nice.
And
yeah, nice.
The like James, it's like, I think anyone who usually hosts a show like that is usually someone quite aspirational, like a Rue, like an Ellen or whatever, you know, like someone who's like kind of made a huge name for themselves and has really put themselves like out there in the world. Whereas James is like kind of a rich twink who like has somehow scraped by. And
yeah,
like
James is like, isn't he constantly embarrassing himself? I feel like he, like...
Yes, and he's constantly embarrassing himself in this. And, like, when he eliminates someone, he's like, they, like, get eliminated in... they have their own, like, YouTube studio. Like, and so... He'll, like, FaceTime you, even though he's in the same room with you, to be like, you've made it through to the final. And then if you haven't made it through to the next round, like, you just won't get a call from him, and he'll knock on your door and be like, hi, Tracy, sorry, not this time, or whatever. And then they'll, like, cry. And then he, like, gives them a very awkward hug. And then he does, like, a sign-off, like, on their YouTube page. And he's like, okay, hey, guys, make sure to like and subscribe while they're crying beside him. It is so weird.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay, importantly, on a semi-related note, have you watched any of American Idol Lockdown?
No. Wow, that's a great idea.
I became obsessed and did a deep dive the other day. So it's, they'd got into like the final 10 or 12 or something and now, and then went into lockdown. So Katy Perry is doing these crazy videos where she puts on costumes. Like one was the giant toilet paper. Ugh. Can't remember what else she's done. Crazy,
why does she
crazy
just
stuff.
Have these costumes?
Well, that's what I'm like. This poor like art department person who's being made to do that and then like drive it round to Katie's house in the middle of a pandemic because she needs to be dressed as toilet paper.
She needs to but then, take herself more seriously. And I always wish I could say that to her. I feel like she releases incredible music and then she's like, and I'm going to do it dressed like an egg. And you're like,
it's
just
crazy.
Like, put on some proper fashion. Give me a little Beyonce, like, fashion video and, like, blow it out of the park. Stop being so stupid all the time. She's like...
Yeah, she's, like, the worst, like, end of Moschino.
She's the girl that says, I'm so random.
She is. She is. And she's what... She must be, like, 38 now. And she's never, like, graduated into the, like...
She needs to
the stage
up.
Of the career that she should be at. Yeah.
No, she's always like, I'm still a,
I tell you what,
I'm like a 14-year-old girl in like a 45-year-old body. And you're like, yeah, and it's awkward.
Yeah. She started releasing good music for a while though. Never Really Over. Small Talk. I thought those were really good songs.
Yeah.
And now she's gonna be a mum. But she, yeah. Okay. In American Idol, they obviously have to film themselves, but none of them are like, you know, TV people, so they're just in their, like, suburban homes with their parents, all these contestants. And, like, so there's one girl that it's filmed, like, from the stairway and the camera's up here, like, kind of facing down on her. But, like, the house is just, like, not decorated at all. It's so crazy. And then there's people performing on their porch, like, just so that everyone in the street can kind of, like, walk past and see. It's so bizarre. It's great.
I love that. I've been watching Hollywood. The Ryan Murphy show on Netflix.
Yes. People seem to love or hate this show.
And I kind of love and hate it. Like, it's interesting because it's like a show that is like made for me. Like, it stars Patti LuPone. It's about old Hollywood. But it's just really weird. Like, it's kind of fanfic. So it's like kind of somewhat set in a reality of like 1940s, like Hollywood, like the height of like MGM. But then retells that story as if like a black woman could be nominated and win Best Actress, and a woman could run the studio, and the best screenplay could be written by a black gay man, and he could bring his boyfriend Rock Hudson to the Oscars. So that's kind of like there's like a somewhat like fanfic there, but then you're like,
it's like a dream.
Yeah, and I just keep watching it, and like the end half of the series, just like lots of nice stuff happens, and it's kind of weird to see that story of like struggle and perseverance and marginalization and all that stuff like somewhat erased and
written
be like
out of history.
Yeah, but then it's like I see what he's trying to do, like, and it's an interesting conversation that he's trying to make of being like, what if we just like championed these characters and gave them everything that they wanted? But then I'm like, it really like unties the kind of power of what those people have accomplished as well. And also like there's this really weird bit of like it's still always granted by like the white people in this story. So it's let's give this guy a chance, you know, and it's a little bit like self-congratulatory, you know, in a way that's like seems like a bit of a blind spot for Ryan.
Yeah.
And I will say that Patti LuPone, I mean, it's got who's Sarah Paulson's wife called? What's her name?
Holland Taylor.
She is sensational. She is the star for me. And she's actually better than Patti.
Yeah.
Like, I love Patti's performance, but I think it's a bit much. And I really enjoy Holland Taylor for this reason. But then it got me thinking about the fact of the game. Because there's a scene in the movie where Rock Hudson, who's like in this version an out gay man, takes boyfriend, who is like who's the openly gay African American screenwriter, and they come as a couple to the Oscars, and they hold hands and walk down the red carpet, and the photographers don't want to photograph them.
What? I'm confused.
Exactly.
What is this reality?
Exactly, Eli. That's why I was confused. I was like, some things are okay and some things aren't. And I was like, I'm very confused by this. Anyway.
Either it's the full fantasy. Why is it half the fantasy? Why is it still hard?
I know, because they're like, we still give a little bit of struggle. Like, they still aren't accepted, but they can make their way in the world. And I was like, it's just confusing. Anyway.
Weird. So it's like the 90s and the 40s.
Yes. And so I was like, oh, I wonder who like the first... Because there surely would have been a moment where something like that would have happened, where like the first kind of openly gay couple would have walked down a red carpet and made a splash. Couldn't find that out. It was too hard to... It required more research than just going to Wikipedia. But what I did find out was who the best... I was like, I wonder then like what actors, openly gay actors, have won the best actor category?
None, right?
Well... This is the interesting thing. So Marlon Brando was confirmed to be bisexual now, but wasn't like openly bi at the time. But he, his Richard Pryor's widow had confirmed that Marlon Brando and Richard Pryor were like hooking up in the 70s because they were like all on drugs, which is just wild. So Marlon Brando is the first, there's three kind of times that are, member of the Pride community is one best actor. Marlon Brando twice. And the other one, 1999, Kevin Spacey.
Oh, God, no.
Isn't that... I was shook by that.
No, neither of them are open, right? Because I think Ian McKellen is maybe the only openly gay person to have won. He won Best Supporting or something.
Yeah, right.
At some point, yeah.
Isn't that shocking?
That is absolutely, totally wild. What?
But it's kind of like, it kind of goes to this thing of, I think, a lot about representation and, like, how we're like, here's the annoying thing. So straight act, like, obviously we worship these kind of actors that can, like your Joaquin Phoenixes, who can, like, really push themselves into, like, a transformative role, and, like, these straight dudes who, like, really put their body on the line, that kind of, like, Dustin Hoffman kind of style.
Hide in a hotel room forever and ever and hone in on their character.
Your Sean Penn.
Sleep in a, like, boar's carcass.
That's it. Like, they sacrifice so much. Your Daniel Day-Lewis's, like... It really, like, that we just, like, love to worship that kind of style of performance. And unfortunately, like, say something like Dallas Buyers Club, which would be a great opportunity for an openly gay actor to have an amazing role and, like, flex that muscle that we love to see in actors. Like, that goes to Matthew McConaughey so that he can do that as an actor.
Two straight cis men get the gay and the trans roles and
so fucked.
And win all the awards.
And
it was crazy. That wasn't that long ago.
And Matthew McConaughey, of, like, the, literally the dudiest of dudes.
Yeah.
And so, but then I was like, yeah, and it's a shame because, like, we never really value those, like, incredible, nuanced, but, like, quite comedic or clipped performances. Like, I always go back to, like, Meryl Streep's performance in Devil Wears Prada, which is, like, doesn't seem like an Oscar winning performance, but it's, like, heaven. And we never celebrate those performances of, like, a character performance, which is often the roles that, like, gay men get in movies.
Yeah, well, like, why has Nathan Lane never won an Oscar?
Exactly. Oh my god, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, it's just, like, a real... And I think there's lots of women as well who have, like, given those performances, those, like, incredible character performances that, like, Renee Zellweger in Cold Mountain, which you told me that character is actually a black woman and that they rewrote it with Renee Zellweger. It's like a white...
Oh.
In the book or something?
No, it wasn't, but...
But it makes sense.
Sam was talking about this the other day.
Very funny.
He's obsessed with the film.
I'm obsessed with the film.
And yet, I've never seen it.
It's pretty weird, but I loved it as well. It sort of hits a weird camp.
Maybe I'll watch it tonight.
I will warn you, it's, like, very long.
It's got Natalie Portman in, like, a tiny role, right?
Potentially. I can't quite remember. It's Nicole Kidman and Renee Zellweger are kind of, like, have this sort of, like, manless, like, because all the men are, like, fighting the Civil War. They have this, like, period of time where there's no men around and they get to have to run this farm together, these two women. And it's, like, very... It has a sort of... It has a little bit of, like, a lesbian energy to it that I think a lot of, like, gays loved about that film. And the fact that it's Nicole Kidman and Renee Zellweger, which is, like, very camp to cast those two women in that role, in those roles. But, yeah, I was just like, oh, it's so interesting. And what a shame that, like, you know, better performances have not been kind of acknowledged, you know, yet.
Well, comedy just never gets acknowledged. Like, even, like... If anyone else had given the performance that Meryl Streep does in Devil Wears Prada without being Meryl Streep before that moment, I don't think they would have got Oscar recognition.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's people love to see a comedic performance from someone who they've seen the rest of the...
Yes.
The bloody Rolodex of types of performances before. The Oscars are fucked, though. Wasn't Adrian Brody, like, the youngest person to win Best Actor, and he was, like, 38? But then it's always like a 24-year-old girl and a 40-year-old man.
Yes.
That is Best Actress and Best Actor every single year.
Well, it's interesting to think. It's crazy. Like, the next time an openly gay man is nominated, like, that'll be the first kind of, like, they will be the first one to be, like, open and out and nominated, and also the first kind of, like, first kind of gay man to be nominated that isn't Kevin Spacey, which would be, like, a terrific thing to celebrate.
That's so funny. we were talking about, like, Rock Hudson and Richard Pryor and old people
old stars hooking up. Have you seen the photo that's gone around of David Bowie and this guy's dad? This guy shared a photo on Reddit. He was like, my dad met David Bowie once. But the photo is like the dad's really young and twinky, and he's kind of, they're on a motorbike together.
Wow.
And the dad has got his hands either side of David Bowie's waist. And this guy shared it being like, hey, look at this fun photo. And then everyone in the comments is like, your dad fucked David Bowie.
I love that. I love
it. It's a really hot photo as well.
Oh, I want to see that.
They're like in Greece,
that.
I think. Shirts off, little shorts. Damn. Looking great.
Yes, I love that. I wonder if we'll...
Good stuff.
If you could live in any other decade... Okay, this is a hard question because obviously there's like the right... Like we think about like our rights and all that kind of stuff, but like...
Yeah.
In a Ryan Murphy universe, what decade would you want to live in?
So in a universe where everything's kind of better, but there's also still struggles.
Like, would you want to be like the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 70s? I think I would want to do like disco era.
It's like 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking 70s, but the other, maybe I'm thinking late 60s, like Woodstock. Like that kind of crazy, but also no.
I think I would love to go to Studio 54. Like, I think that's what it would be a dream of mine. Like, have you seen the documentary on that?
No.
I would recommend that. That is that fucking rot. I watched that on a plane and, like, I mean, obviously never trust anything you watch on a plane, but I bawled my eyes out. Like, it's incredible. And also just, like, it's so satisfying to learn about how it all worked and the celebrities who were there. And it was, like, oh, it's just, like, so magical and, like, such an incredible time in history.
I think I kind of love the 90s. I know it's weird, but I would kind of love to have been this age in the 90s. Like, I love the cusp of the technology that we have now that was then. And I think there was a lot of optimism. There was a lot of, like, we've kind of, like... I think people thought we were further ahead with a lot of like struggles and like gay rights and stuff. I think maybe, I don't know.
So then, late 90s? Like, because all I can think about is it being like the peak of how hard it would have been to be openly gay at that time because you're sort of in the peak of the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking late 90s.
Which we should actually bring up now.
Because it felt like, you know, like Will and Grace. And
It
felt like real representation was kind of coming there.
As I'm saying,
maybe I'm completely losing my mind.
No, but I think there's something interesting about, like, when you watch back at, like, some of those, like, 90s, fun movies, like, there's a lot of, like, interesting queer representation in them. And then I feel like it really dropped off in, like, the early 2000s when everything became, like, really heteronormative, like in a really weird way. Like, I was watching the trailer for She's the Man the other day, and it's like,
oh yeah,
it's so backwards in terms of, like, you know, one, in terms of like Amanda Bynes like dresses up as a dude and there's all these kind of odd transphobic jokes, but then also there's like Channing Tatum like has a crush on Amanda Bynes. He's confused because it's like, this guy, Amanda Bynes, looks like a dude, and he's like, does this mean I'm gay now? I don't want to be gay. And it's like such a kind of odd film, but it's like, it really like encapsulates like the jokes at the time and how kind of it was sort of like, before that though, it was like every character, and I felt like every character in like a teen witch movie was like, had a sort of strange
queer
lesbian bi energy. And then, like,
I think maybe that's why I like the 90s, because I feel like there was a lot of queer films that weren't like openly queer. There was so much like coded queerness everywhere without, like, which is something fun. Rather than, I think early 2000s was like the peak of homophobic humor.
I think of, like, when I think of 2000s, I think of like Jessica Simpson. And I'm like, she's no. Yeah. I think of like the role models. Like, I think of like our bigger pop stars now is like Lizzo, you know, and in terms of what she represents and who she speaks to. And then you think, like, in 2004 it was like Jessica Simpson and like it's like literally
Christina Brittany, Jessica Simpson, Avril Lavigne, they were all blonde, Hilary Duff, everyone,
and they're just like a little bit like all quite stupid and like just not the kind of role models on, like, you know, that we need in pop.
Here's my history with the film She's the Man. I've never seen the whole film, but I did work at a cinema while it was playing, and I did, like, without admitting to myself that I was doing it, I would remember the moments where Channing Tatum was shirtless in the movie and do my cinema checks at those times.
That is poetry. I love it.
He's shirtless in, like, grey male track pants at one point. And that, legal. I mean, that's
like so porn. Hot.
It is full porn.
Sweatpants are...
Channing Tatum is a gift from God. I'm going to say,
sweatpants should be rated R16.
they should be... They're so intimate.
Like, I've never not...
That's the worst part of... I really have not looked much at TikTok, but every time I go on, I feel like it's somehow already figured out that I'm gay, because everything that I see is, like, a guy in sweatpants who hasn't mentioned it, but you can see the full outline of his head and shaft and then whatever kind of stupid comedy bit that he's doing.
Have you seen Julio Torres's, like, tweets about TikTok kitchens and how, like, every TikTok house is, like, a giant kitchen island and then, like, a big yes. thing of, like, sofa, like, a sofa couch built into the wall. And I was like, yeah, TikTok, like, architecture is so weird. These, like, TikTok stars who have these weird houses. I can't wait for a post-TikTok world when, like, they crumble, they fall. These, like, people that made instant quick fortunes from the app are, like, can't sustain careers anymore.
Well, that girl.
And then I can't wait for Ryan Murphy to make a show about it.
You know that girl who's, like, she's in the Doja Cat video? She's famous for doing all the dance, like, starting all the dance trends, but she's actually just ripping off black women. And then she is also, like, so shy. Like, she went on Jimmy Fallon and she was like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, just
make the videos. I don't know what her name is, but what? How? I don't understand the trajectory to anyone knowing who she is, and I still don't know her name, but, like, yeah. What is the talent there?
I don't know. Where's the range?
Yeah. It's weird that, like, I feel like more and more, like, the Gen Z version of celebrities, like, it's almost like people without charisma getting platforms is how it works.
It's pretty amazing.
It's crazy.
Like, when I think about Patti LuPone and how much charisma she has. And it's been interesting because, like, because she's been doing Hollywood, she's been in the middle of a press junket. And it couldn't...
I saw her on Watch What Happened Live.
Wasn't she fantastic? Was
yes, talking about Glenn Close and bagging her out. And that. And I was also like, oh my God, she's having a drink with Andrew Rannells and Jake Gyllenhaal. And then Glenn Close crashes in. I want to be. That's the Hollywood. That's the Hollywood that I want to be in.
I love, like, that story about her being fired from Sunset Boulevard and she trashed her dressing room and she stormed out of the theater. I'm like, she's a fucking queen. And I was watching her talk on BroadwayWorld.com. Yep. And she's talking about Hollywood, but also talking about the Sondheim 90th concert. And because she's also currently, I guess this is why she's, like, all over the internet at the moment as well. She's also, because they were about to open Company on Broadway, which was, like, this revival that they'd done in London. And she was, like, one of the only stars that had come over, for, like, apart from the chick who was in the lead, who came over to, like, do the Broadway revival, Broadway remount. And, like, just kind of hearing her talk about, like, her, what was I going into? Oh, she said, she was talking about how she's, like, loves being, in Hollywood and, like, doing that show, and she gets, like, goosebumps and emotional because she's like, I get to be, like, a TV star. And I'm like, she's like, it's always been a dream of mine. She's like, you know, as soon as I heard myself sing, I was like, well, I'm gonna be on Broadway. But I never thought, and I was like, oh my God, the confidence of this woman is just outrageous.
The sentence, as soon as I heard myself sing. I love that.
She's not wrong.
Yeah, of course you would. You'd know.
Yeah. She's like, she's bang on. She was, you know what's crazy to me is that she was in the original cast of Les Mis. Isn't that nuts?
Was she Cosette?
No. She was Fontaine. She sang I Dreamed a Dream. She was the very first actress to sing that song.
Wow.
In the Royal Shakespeare Company Barbican. Wild. Like, wild. I already know this because I've been watching old Tony Awards, like, in full.
I love the lockdown.
It's like, they're such a weird show. Like, they're such a weird show. It's only now recently that they're like, you know, that big celebrities are doing musicals. But like, before then, it was like still televised, but they were like, Kanda and Ebb have been writing big Broadway tunes for 40 years, and tonight we celebrate the... And I'm like, it's just so weird.
Amazing.
But it really got me into a big... I think her name is Cheetah Rivera. She played the very first Thelma Kelly in Chicago. And she's fantastic. She's got a bit of like... She's sort of a contemporary of Liza Minnelli, and she's got a good vibe. I think you'd be into
it. I was deep diving on, is it Audra McDonald as well, from who is in the Ladies Who Lunch? And she's won, what does she want, 4 Best Actress Tonys or something like that? It's crazy. She's so good.
Sensational. I think she's in Beauty and the Beast, the Disney version. I think she plays the wardrobe. Whatever's the opera singer, she plays it. She's got an incredible voice. You have seen...
Her voice is so clear.
Just to check, you have seen the Sondheim 80th concert with Audra, Patty, what's her name? Red hair, Jan Sport played her on.
Bernadette Peters.
They all sing for Sondheim.
Oh, I've seen, I've definitely seen the Bernadette Peters performance.
You've got to watch all of them. It's like, it's incredible. It's like truly incredible. They're the greatest Broadway stars. And I watched it, like, I've watched 2 of them the other day and I cried.
Wow.
Every time they get me. I think like...
We just watched Roger and Hammerstein's Cinderella from the early 2000s with Brandy.
Oh, Whitney how Houston, was that?
Bernadette Peters. It's so good. The music in that musical is so good. And the choices they made when they made that TV version are outstanding.
Yeah, I really want to watch The Wiz.
We watched it.
Great.
Did I tell you about it?
I think so.
It's so fucking weird.
Yeah. It's Richard Pryor in it.
Songs are great. Yeah, Richard Pryor is The Wiz.
Amazing.
So you don't really meet him until the end. Right. Spoiler alert if you don't know the story of The Wizard of Oz. I think I was maybe surprised as to like how strictly it did adhere to the plot. But yeah, it's great. You don't meet the witch until very near the end. Her song's great. The set design, it looks like Batman Forever a little bit. The sets.
It is part of that like 70s disco world. Like it's Diana Ross, right?
Yeah, Diana Ross, and she was like way too old. And basically they were going to cast the girl who'd played the role on Broadway, who was kind of the right age to play Dorothy. And then Diana Ross did some weird sort of deal, like pressured someone somehow and swooped in and got the role. And like a lot of the criticism against the film is basically she is too old to be Dorothy.
This is the
Michael
same
Jackson's
thing
that, amazing in it.
Oh, this is the same thing that
he's happened. He's 19.
Wow. This is the same thing that happened with Gwen... what her name is, Verdon, in Chicago. Like, she wanted it so bad to be in Chicago.
Wow.
And then when they founded the production, like, with Cheetah Rivera and stuff, and Fosse directing it, everyone was like, it's amazing. Gwen's very old for Roxy Hart, which was really sad. But it's so interesting, those
God,
roles.
God, I love
that
the role
want.
Of Roxy Hart. I would that's if I could play any Broadway role, it'd be Roxy Hart.
I would love to see you as Roxy Hart.
Thanks, man. Cheers.
What's
my dream?
Who's your Velma Kelly?
James Charles.
What was I going to say? Oh, shit, I had such a good question for you, and then I've lost it. Oh, can't remember. Oh, well, I really want to do a production of Rocky Horror. Like, I know it's kind of problematic,
so
but I fucking love the music in that show.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What's problematic about Rocky Horror?
Well, it's a little weird around, like, it's just, like, because of, like, the transsexual stuff is kind of odd. Transvestite stuff. Like, it's just a little... It's sort of odd. Like, it's just kind of...
like, fetishized.
Yeah, it's just sort of weird. Like, and I feel like... I don't know how people really feel about it, but I remember reading a piece about it, and, like, I kind of can't remember what they were trying to say, but they were like, it has its issues, but it, like, it was perfect for what it was at its time, you know?
Exactly. It's so progressive in terms of what it was doing with gender at that time, to be like...
Yeah, I think that's just a bit, like, wacky, but also it's also still so beautiful in terms of what it does.
The songs are absolute jams.
Every single song slaps on that album. It's crazy.
That's what The Wiz is full of jams as well, and the problem with The Wiz film is that they rewrote the script. The script is written by some old white guy who rewrote the book. From the stage musical. So none of the dialogue from the stage musical's in it, and it's all a little weird.
This is easily the gayest this podcast has been. This is us just fluffing over. Oh, actually, this is like a bit of news that is really definitely related to this conversation, which is kind of like, I feel like if I could capture this conversation, it's like movie musicals, or like it's really weird. It's like movie adaptation of musicals. I think they're making...
It's definitely questionable whether this is entertainment, what we're putting out.
This is niche, I think is how you describe this. Is that... I think they're going to make a Matilda the musical the movie.
Yes. No, I heard this.
And apparently... who is Voldemort?
Ralph Fiennes.
Apparently he is confirmed for Miss Trunchbull.
No.
Hold on. I'm going to Google it while we're on Zoom, because we may as well confirm it right here and here on the podcast.
That's true, yeah. You heard it here.
You've heard it here first.
We're nothing if appreciated for being a confirmed source for every single thing we share on this podcast.
Well, how great is a
I
name
can't believe
Ralph
that.
Fiennes?
No, it's Rafe. You pronounce it Rafe Fiennes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, miss.
Also, you know how, you know, isn't his brother Joseph Fiennes the from Shakespeare in Love?
Okay, honey.
Who's hot?
Ralph Fiennes set to play Miss Trunchbull Matilda the musical adaptation.
That makes me angry.
Do you know what's really interesting though? Guess who's guess who's suspected to be playing Miss Honey?
Who? Gwyneth Paltrow.
They thought it was going to be... The first rumor was that it was going to be Emma Stone. And then that has now changed. They think it's going to be Jodie Comer. From Killing Eve.
I've just started it. I'm halfway through season one.
Isn't it?
It's so wonderful.
It's wonderful.
But a character I love just died. But it's... Yeah, it's really, really good stuff.
The fashion in this show is unbelievable. It's so good. I love it for that.
If I can say one more thing about Matilda, we actually watched it the other day because it was on television.
Is there anything you haven't watched Saturday the other day?
No, I've watched everything, man.
You've watched everything the other day.
The actor who plays Miss Trunchbull in the film is outrageously good. Like,
she is
a perfect performance.
Eli, this is what we were saying earlier on. Like, we've come full circle. Like, it is an Oscar-winning performance, but you would never nominate it.
No, and it's so, and it's a really queer performance as well.
It's unbelievable. It makes the movie. It's like incredible. Yeah. It's transcendent. It's like canon in terms of like, we know Miss Trunchbull from that performance. Everyone feared her. It's like, why wasn't that nominated? It should be nominated.
And yet, like, Hugh Grant was nominated for a BAFTA for Paddington 2, but it's only because he's Hugh Grant that you'd appreciate that sort of like villainous role.
What's the actress's name?
Yeah. Oh, we'll never know.
No, we will find out right now, because she's our Queen of the Week.
She is absolutely the Queen of the Week.
Okay.
I'm just kind of having a little scroll through. I tried to look up some articles to see if there was any news that I made sure I wanted to talk about. The main thing was the David Bowie
photo. Okay, her name is...
I got distracted.
Oh, and do you know who else is fantastic? Rhea Perlman, who plays Matilda's mum.
And she's got that voice.
She's amazing.
The parents are so good. It's
really well.
So funny.
Whoever was on casting in that movie did an amazing job. Her name is Pam Ferris. And her IMDb is looking. She's in not a lot. She's in Harry Potter.
Who's she in Harry Potter?
Aunt Marge.
I don't know who that is. God, J.K. Rowling followed some New Zealand turf the other day on Twitter. It just makes me like so angry. And I'm like, Emma Watson, Daniel Radcliffe, why are you not publicly speaking out? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why is no one? There's a little bit of like Emma Watson has been like trans rights, human rights, that kind of stuff, but no direct calling her out.
So having a look at her IMDb, it's not fantastic. Which is a real shame.
It sucks.
She's done Call the Midwife. She must be British. Tolkien. She played Mrs. Faulkner in 2019. Holmes and Watson. We're going on a bear hunt. A TV short.
Holmes and Watson and Tolkien. Those are
okay. She's done a lot of Call the Midwife.
Okay.
Which is awesome. The Nativity 2. Like some really weird stuff. Nothing great. Like,
well, I mean, she's working though.
Oh my god. My god. Okay. Huge plot twist.
I'm so excited for whatever this is about to be.
She is in Rosemary and Thyme.
What is that?
Fuck you.
What?
I'm meeting the podcast.
In God's name, it's Rosemary and Thyme.
Rosemary and Thyme is my favorite. It's like, it's a murder mystery show, a British murder mystery show about two gardeners called someone like Rosemary someone and so-and-so Thyme. And they are like nosy amateur gardeners who are always doing the garden of these like very rich estates where someone gets murdered, and then they're like, oh, again? And then they like,
I do know this show.
They absolutely like, let's go check it out. And then they like go to the scene of the crime, fiddle with all the evidence, and like ultimately solve the crime. But I'm like, every time they do it, they're breaking so many laws and becoming accessories to crime every time.
Yes.
She's a lead in that. Oh my God, that makes me feel so much better. Is she my favorite actress of all time?
Yeah.
I've already forgotten
Queen
her name.
Queen of the Decade.
Pam Ferris?
Pam Ferris. Which sounds like a joke name to me. Pam Ferris. It sounds like a character you'd write.
It definitely feels like you want to say Pam Ferris. And you also like the way you want to say Anna Ferris.
God, I'm obsessed with people doing impressions of Anna Faris on TikTok. All the people I followed, I think I follow about 10 people, and it's like all of my friends that have accounts and then like three 19-year-old gays who do impressions of Anna Faris.
TikTok is...
And I love it.
TikTok is hell. Like, it is like a hellscape. It is like basically people trying to get attention is basically what it is. It's an app. And they'll go any way possible. Like, this is one where it's like, I don't remember what the song is, but it's like, basically, like, a group of people get into a formation for a photo, and then it clicks to the old photo of, like, when they were kids. So they're basically, like, recreating old photos. I've seen so many where they get into position, and then there's, like, a dead sibling missing, and then you realize that they're holding the ashes or whatever. It's...
Oh my god! So,
and they're like,
"Why is it?" I thought it was for comedy, but it's not at all for comedy.
There's so much as well that's like, me coming out to like my best friend, or like I've had a crush on.
I love it when they kiss their best friend. Yeah. They're like, "He's been my best friend for 15 years." Blah blah blah. I'm gonna try and kiss him, and then it's like, "This is you. You planned this, you little bitch." But my favorite one, my favorite thing on TikTok is when it's dancers and they put a clock, like the numbers of a clock, and then it's playing Kanye West, harder, better, faster, stronger. And then they put their leg up and show which number of the clock they can get to when they rotate their leg.
Gross. In my gay opinion,
it's really impressive.
In my gay opinion, TikTok is just for those people who want attention.
Yeah, unlike podcasts, which in my gay opinion is for people who really want to help.
And on that note, that's our episode. We got them all out. We got our fact of the gay, we got my gay opinion, we got a queen of the week, and we got something
and
else.
And we play the theme song.
We remembered the theme song.
We even played the theme song. And what's amazing is this. I would posit that I think this could be our last remote record.
You are so hopeful, eh? I don't reckon.
Well, every business that I, every, like, my dentist is like,
same.
Like, called me the other night and we're like, we're booking you in Lumino? For this day. And I'm like, good luck. You're Lumino.
They did the same for me. Fuck. I was almost like, are you taking the piss? They're like, we think we're going to be
a voice job on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Grey Lent. They're like, you're doing this voice. I'm like, am I really?
I know. It's so weird, but I don't know.
People listening are like, are you like, it's voice work?
What's the voice?
Doesn't
job?
Make a shred of sense.
You've got a great voice.
I can't tell you.
Really?
But it's for I don't know. It's for a phone company.
Oh, can
but it's not. I don't even know if it's a job or an additional. Wait, I don't know what it is.
Are you releasing the new iPhone?
Yeah, I'm. It's me describing the iPhone 12.
The
is
iPhone
that what we're
12.
Up to?
Our,
the iPhone 12.
The reddest with no phone buttons. On the market. 200 grams of
call
bacon.
Your boys.
Barbecue sauce.
I love doing food, actually. Dripping with bacon mayonnaise.
There's an immediate, I would love your Dice House Party sketch where you bleed, and when you check the blood in your mouth, you do these two fingers. Like, you do your, like, you, it's like you're fingering someone. You put your index finger and your middle finger into your mouth and pull out the blood. It was one of the most revolting things I have ever seen in my entire life.
What amount of fingers are you meant to use when you shake your mouth for blood?
Like one? You were like sexually fingering your mouth as you pulled tomato sauce out of it, and it made me like almost hurl. It was truly one of the grossest things I've ever seen.
It's just meant to be a plain, simple cannibalism joke, Chris. There's nothing sexual about it.
Oh my God. Truly wild stuff. Wow, this has almost been an hour. That's so long.
This is crazy that we clocked that all in.
It's amazing.
We've a lot to catch up on.
Heaps.
We had a lot of fantasy decades, a lot of Tony Moore stuff. We had to remember who Pam Ferris was. There was a lot we had to
do. I really feel like at about 35 minutes of this podcast, people listening will be going to be like, shut up. Shut up and talk about something that happened this year. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, well, guess what happened this year? Nothing. We're all at home.
Nothing happened this year. Isn't that amazing? I did my taxes. It took like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I look at my credit card statement. It's like, nothing.
I bought so much. I bought slippers, wooden spoons, some felting wool, and lube.
I just bought some clothes yesterday. I bought a Chicks jumper.
I bought Chicks as
and
well,
a
Chicks
t-shirt.
Great. I love that everyone's on the Chicks bandwagon.
I wanted the burgundy sweatshirt, but they sold out, so I got the black. But I also got on the email list for them to email me when they get the burgundy one back in.
I wanted that burgundy one too. It was so nice, eh?
It's really nice, yeah. But then I got the stone, the t-shirt, which is the color stone.
Beautiful. I love the color.
Anyway.
I love the color stone.
I love the colour. My favourite colour is actually stone.
Stone. Okay. So nice to catch
up. We
gotta
wrap this up. Lovey, have a great day.
You too. Rock it, sis.
Yeah. See you in level 2, maybe.
See you in level 2, maybe. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry, Mom. It's not a phase.
Both gay. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.